Teishir, the Daf Yomi, is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Mem. We're going to begin with the two dots, about 10 lines down from the top of Mem and Bar Aleph. We're learning today, Lili Nishmas, Yaakov Shimon HaKalir, Yaakov Shimon Ben Yisrael Chaim. We're learning Lili Nishmas, Fred Lewison, Usher Ben Levi HaLevi, and learning Lili Nishmas, Miriam Aframowitz, Miriam Bas Sachna. All the shows we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. We continue to learn for the safety of the Chayalim, for the Kochas of Bitachon. Everyone should be safe in Eretz Yisrael. They should be successful. They should bring back the hostages, b'mheira, in good health. And all those in need of Refuah Shleima should have one. All those in need of Nechama, Hamakom Yenachem. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We pick up the two dots, Mem, Omen Aleph, about 10 lines down from the top, with the following Braisa. It tells us, Apotropsin Mishalmin Min Haliyah. Yesterday, Shir, we had a whole discussion. When we have an apotropos appointed, who pays if the animal gores? Is it the apotropos' responsibility? Is it the yesoman's responsibility? So we brought down that everybody agreed that it was the apotropos' responsibility that they pay min ho'aliyah. They ain't mishal from kofar. However, here the braisa adds that they don't have to pay kofar. Normally, if an animal, Rahman al-Islam, kills a person, so then there's a payment that has to be made called kofar. In kofar, yushas olav. So the apotropos, according to this braisa, while he'll have to be responsible from his own personal funds, Mishalmim Min Ho'aliyah, he has to go pay Nezek Shaleh Min Ho'aliyah. Nevertheless, ain't Mishalmim Kofar. There is no din of Kofar. Now, Mar says, who is the author of this price of Mantana that Kufra Kapara? Who is the author of this price? Says that the apotropos doesn't have to pay the kofar because the kofar is an atonement. It brings a kapara. And in this situation, the cherishot of a katan, they don't require kapara. They're not bali das. They're not needing a kapara. They're not in control of what happened. And therefore, they don't need a kapara. And therefore, that's why the apotropos doesn't pay a mishalim kofar. So the Gemara says, Amar Chista, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, ben Osher Yochanan Brocha. Hey, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who was the son of Yochanan Brocha, because he darshens the psukim, v'nosan pidyon nafsho. He says that is a reference. When you have to go pay the pidyon, he says that's a reference that you pay according to demei nizak, the value of the nizak, the person nebuch that was killed. He's called the nizak because in this regard to damages, it's a financial penalty, so he called the nizak nebuch. This is the dead guy. So you pay the value of this dead person. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha disagrees. That is the Tanakama's opinion that we just brought down in Asan Pidyon HaSho. That is the Demei Nizak. But Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Brocha, he's the one that says, Omer Demei Mazik. No, it's the one who is the Mazik. He, you pay his value, that is the payment. Because aren't they arguing, the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Brocha, my lab b'hokum ifligi. This is what they're arguing about. The Rabbanan Sabre, the Chacham and the Tanakama, they hold Kufra Mamonu. It is a financial penalty, a financial payment that you're paying. The demand, the exact name, you killed this guy, so his value was worth $1,000 on the slave market, so therefore you pay $1,000. That's the kofar that you pay as a financial repayment, compensation, if you wish, for the nebuch, the loss of the nizak. That is the opinion of Tanakam and Chacham. The Rabban Savri Kufra Mamonu. They hold that this is a penalty, a financial remuneration that you're going to give over here, a reimbursement for Nebuch the guy's loss. As opposed to Rishmo ben Osher, Yochanan ben Brocha, Savar, he holds Kufra Kapara. This amount that you're giving as a kofar is for an atonement. Therefore, who needs the atonement? It is the Mazik, the one who sure caused the damage. He's the one that needs the Kapara. So therefore, the author of this brisa that says apotropos and mishalim and aliyah, but they mishalim kofar, is clearly the Tana that says kofar is a kapara, which is Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan ben Brocha. Now the Gemara says, on Rapapa says, not necessarily so. That's not the right way to understand this price. Lo, in fact, the Kuliyama Kufra Kaparu. Everybody says that the Kofar is a pure Kapara. Aye, then why are they arguing over here? Why does the Tanakama seem to indicate that it's a compensation? Says, no, that's not what the Tanakama's opinion is. This is what the Tanakama and Rishmuel ben Osher Yochanan ben Brocha are arguing about. The Tanakama, the Chachamim, Rabbanon, Sabre, Bidinizak Shaiminon, they say that, no, we assess this kapara based upon the value of the Nebuch dead person. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan ben Brocha, Sovar, Bidimazik Shaiminon. No, we make this assessment of the kapara based upon the Mazik. But they both agree that the Kofar is a kapara. Okay. Now, let's understand this a little bit better. According to this understanding, we clearly know why you would say it's the Mazik, so we don't have to explain Rishmo ben Osher Yochanan ben Brocha. That was clear. But why did the Tanakama and Chachamim hold that you pay a kapara based upon the Nizak, Why does that make any sense? My time, the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says this is based upon Gzeir Shava, where we have the words Yoshis in two places. We have when a woman, Rachmon al-Islan, is carrying a baby, and Nebuch, somebody hits her, and she miscarries. So the Pasuk says, in regards to the Dumei Vlados, Rashi brings down, so, Kasher Yoshis Olav Baal Ha'isha. So that's one place where we have this Yoshis, you shall impose, you shall make pay. The Nemra, and then it has another place where it says, in regards to the Shor HaMuad, it says, Im Kofer Yushas Olav. So, Nemra Shiso Limata. It says the word, Im Kofer Yushas Olav. That's the Lamata. That's by Shor HaMuad. And the Nemra Shiso Lamala. And it says earlier in the Psukim, it says by the pregnant woman, the Vlei Vlados, Kasher Yoshis Olav Balo Isha. So we make a Gzeir Rishav between the two words, Shisa Shisa. So, Mala Halam Bidin Izak, just like there in the case of the woman Nebuch that is miscarrying because somebody hits her. So we look at the value of the baby's Nebuch, the fetus is inside. So too, Avkan Bidin Izak. So too, over here, the Chachamim hold that you evaluate based upon the Nizak and not based upon the Mazik. No, what about Rishwa Ben Osher Rofun Broka? He holds Sovar, the Nosan Pidyon Nafsho, the pasuk that we had previously, that you go give Pidyon Nafsho, and that refers to the owner of the shor that was Mazik, and therefore it's his value, the Nosan Pidyon Nafsho. No, what do the Chachamim do with that pasuk, the Nosan Pidyon Nafsho, the Rabbanon? Granted, they have the Gzeir Shavu, what do they do with this pasuk? They say, yeah, in, you're 100% right. Pidyon Nafsho Ksiv, however, Miu, Ki Shai Minon, Bidinizak Shemin, based upon the Gzeir Shava, yes, he's the one that's getting the Kapara. The Masik is getting the Kapara. However, you base it upon, based upon the Gzeir Shava, based upon the value of the Nizak. When the person was alive, Rechmon al-Islan, he's killed. But what was the value of him as a slave when he was alive? That's how you go and calculate the compensation. Okay. Now Gemara says, Mishabeach le'Rava. Rava was praising le'Rav Nachman, to Rav Nachman, about this Talmud Chacham bid Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So again, Rava is talking to Rav Nachman, and he says, wow, this Talmud Chacham, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he's the real deal. The Adam Gadol Hu. He is a great Talmud Chacham. Now, Rav Nachman had never met him, so he told Rava, listen, next time he's around, bring him to me. Amalei. Rav Nachman says to Rava, L'chashiyavo, L'yodcha, the next time this Talmud Chacham, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, comes around, Havieu L'yodi, bring him to me, and let me meet him and see what a big Talmud Chacham he is. Okay. Ki asa l'gavei, this Rav Acha bar Yaakov does come to visit Rava, so he brings him to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman asks him, Amalei, nu, boy minai milsa, nu. Let's talk and learning. Ask me a question. Let's see your bekias. Let's see your knowledge over here. So he told Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he asked him a question. No, Rav Acha bar Yaakov responds, and he says, no problem. Boy minei. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov asks Rav Nachman the following question. If you have a shor, shor shnei shutvim, a shor is owned 50% by Reuven, 50% by Shimon, and Nebuch, then that ox, that shor, goes and kills somebody. So now there's a penalty. In Kofar, you shas olav. But how do you pay Kofar when they have two owners? They have Reuven and Shimon, each owning 50%. Kate said, Meshachim Kofar. This is where Rav Acha bar Yaakov asks of Nachman. How do you pay Kofar in this situation? Do we say, Meshalim, high Kofar, Reuven pays the full Kofar and Shimon pays the full Kofar? Is that true? No, you got a problem. Kofar Echad and Rachmana, lo shnei Kofar. The passage says, Im Kofar, you shas olav. One Kofar shall be paid and not two Kofars. So therefore, how can you say that Reuven should pay a full kofar, and Shimon should pay a full kofar? Aye, what do you do then? Hai chatzi kofar, vai chatzi kofar. Oh, so let Reuven pay half the kofar, and Shimon pay half the kofar. That also doesn't fit. The pasuk says, im kofar yushas lov, kofar sholem am rachbona, velo chatzi kofar. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that there's only a kapara, there's only a kofar if you pay the full kofar, and not if Reuven pays half the kofar, and Shimon pays half the kofar. So that's the question that Rav Acha bar Yaakov posed to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman did not have the answer, at least he was thinking about it, and Adi Yosef, while he's sitting there thinking about it, the Koma Ayimba, and looking into this, what should be the answer? So Amalei, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says to him, I got another question for you. Tonight, we learned in a Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Arochin, where it tells us, Chayove Arochin, Mimashkin also. If the person says, let's say, Erech Yolai, he says, I obligate myself to pay my Erech, which is based upon your age and your gender. So the person says, Erech Yolai, so do we or do we not go and take a collateral to make sure that this guy pays up. Now, what's the two sides of the story? Chay the erech and mimashkin son or not? Do we say, chayavi chatos yashomos ein mimashkin son? Person says, I'm obligated to bring a chatos or an osham. So Basin knows that he's obligated to be in the Chatas Yashuv. Basin doesn't go take collateral from him because we know he's going to bring it on his own because this is serious stuff. If he doesn't bring his Chatas or his Oshon, he's in a lot of trouble. He won't get a Kapara. So Basin doesn't need to go and take a collateral from him to encourage him, to spur him to go and pay up his debt of the Chatas or an Oshon. So in regards to Chayvi Chatas or Mashamas, Basin doesn't go and Mimashkin somebody. But what about the din by Kapara? Chayove Kaparin, my. If your chayiv in the kofar, does Beis Din take a collateral from you to encourage you to pay up or not? What are the two sides of the coin? So do we say kivon de kapara? Who, since it's the kapara, so there it has the same din kechatos u'chaoshem domi, and the person wants to get this kapara, and therefore he doesn't need to be encouraged. You don't have to get the collateral from him. He's going to go pay this as soon as he can. Why? Because michmar chamir ilove. This is something that's very, very serious. It's very chamir to him, and therefore he's not going to take a chance that he doesn't get his kapara. Below boy mashkune, and you don't have to go take a mashkun from him in order to go and make him pay up. Or on the other end, we say, no, listen, Odilma, kivon de lechavrehu de boy, since he's not giving this for himself, he's giving this to the dead man's heirs. So therefore, meisvole mamonahu v'lo legavohu. He doesn't think, well, I'm giving this as a carbon to Hashem. I'm getting a carbon from Hashem. I'm giving it to Yankel over there. Nebuch, Yankel lost his father because my ox gored his father. So it's not in such a rush to go and give it to Yankel. And therefore, v'lo chomerele, it's not so strict to him. It's not something that's so choshev to him. And therefore, uboy mashkune. Maybe Basin does go and take a mashku from him in order to go and spur him to go and pay up the kofar. Alternatively, Inami, we could argue, Kivan Duhu Lo Chote. He says, hey, I didn't do anything. My ox gored. I didn't do anything. Umamonihu de Azik. And all it did was really cause Nebuch financial damage by killing this guy. But I didn't do anything. It was my ox. And therefore, maybe for that reason, Lo Chomer Milsi Lave, it's not so choshev to him. He's not going to take it so strictly. And therefore, Uboy Mashkuni. And therefore, Basin does go make you take a mashkon in this situation. So these are the two questions that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov posed to Rav Nachman. The first one, he didn't have an answer to. And the second one, he doesn't have an answer to either. So Amalei, Rav Nachman says back to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Shavkan, leave me alone. Is Tagar Bikamaisa. I still am Sogur. I still am Shot. I still am Huzgarti, Rashi says, Vinelanti Mirishona. And I am an Elam. I have nothing to answer to your first question. I don't know what the answer is to your first question, and I don't know what the answer is to your second question. So Rav Nachman does see that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is a big Talmud Chacham. How do we possibly, by the way, he didn't give an answer. So the Rambam brings down that both pay the kofar, both Reuven and Shimon in the first case would each pay the kofar because it's a sofek, and each of them needs a kapara. So each of them has to pay the full kapara because maybe by paying half the kapara, they wouldn't get a kapara. And in the second case, that's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Ritva, who say that we don't mashkin the person who made the Erek Yolai, and the Rambam and the Rashba say that we do. Okay. Well, it continues by quoting another brisa. Tani Rabbanan, Sha'alu b'cheskas tam. If a person borrowed an ox from his friend with the understanding, he thought that this was a tam. Now, that involves a lesser responsibility to watch this animal because it's not a known goring ox. So, a person who borrows it thinks he's getting a tam. However, it turns out, v'nim tzamuad, it actually was a shormuad, and it went and damaged, it went and gored. So now, who pays what? So normally the shul would be responsible to pay for everything. However, in this situation, the shul says, listen, I thought I was borrowing a tam. So when you gave me mu'ud, maybe the din is different. So therefore, the braisa states, ba'ol mishal mechatzi nezek, v'shul mishal mechatzi nezek. So the owners of this ox who had lent it out and didn't tell him that it was a mu'ud, made it clear that it was a tam. So they're paying half the damages. And the shul, the one who borrowed it, he also has to pay half the damages. Now, that's the first part of this braisa. The price then continues and tells us, who had they shawl? If it really was a tam when he borrowed it, and then it became a mu'ad, it gored several times while it was in the possession of the shawl, and then the hechziru lebalim, he returns it to the balim, so what is its status right now? So the balim is shamuchatzi nezik, so in this situation it reverts back to being a tam, like the Nemuke Yosef that we explained previously, and we'll discuss again later in the shiur today, because the original owners can say, listen, it never would have become a mu'ad by us. So the price states that when it's returned to the original Balim, even though it was a Mu'ad, so the Raisa says, Ba'olim Misham Chatzi Nezek. They only pay Chatzi Nezek if it goes and damages. Ah, you might thought that the Shoal pays the other half. No, the Shoal Parti Miklum. The person who had borrowed it, he is not responsible anymore once he returns it. If it does any damage, he is not responsible at all. So we have the two parts of the Raisa. The first part, where he thought he was borrowing a Tam, and he borrowed a Mu'ad, and then it turned into a mu'ud under his watch, and he returns it. What's the halachas? Okay. Now we go back and dissect the first part. Sha'ala b'cheskes tam. This borrower thinks he's borrowing a tam. The name's a mu'ud. It turns out to be a mu'ud. So he said, ba'ala m'sham chatzi nezik. Sha'ala chatzi nezik. Ishan pays half nezik. Now, how come? Va'amai. Why can't the borrower say, listen, lay malay, he should tell the original owner that tura she'ili, aya lo shili. I thought I was borrowing a nice calm ox. I didn't think I was borrowing a lion. In other words, I never would have borrowed this animal as a mu'ud, or if I had borrowed it knowing it was a mu'ud, I would have watched it a lot more carefully. Why should I pay anything in this situation? That is the taina that we're arguing on the braisa. The braisa said that the balam mishal mechatzi nezek, and the shol pays chatzi nezek. So the Gemara says, why can't the shol say, I never would have borrowed it if it was a mu'ud, and therefore there's like a mekach tos, and I shouldn't have to pay anything? So Amar Rav, Rav says no. Kogmay askinon shehikir bo shehu nachon. He realized that this was a nachon. As Rashi says, full lines on the bottom of the Rashi's shehikir bo shehu nachon. Avo lo yoda shenogach gimul negichos. He knew that this was a temperamental animal. This animal was not a quiet, simple animal. Albeit it didn't have the full status of a muad. Therefore, hilkoch. Rashi explains that nitirusa detam nogach kabil olei. That he knew that this was a tam nogach, not a regular tam, but a tam nogach, a new term that we're introducing here. And he says, v'hava leilin ture. And therefore he knew he should have watched it better. So even though it didn't have the full status of being a shor nachon, the mefarshim bring down, the ultimate mefarshim, that it had gored three times. We just didn't have witnesses that it gored three times. So we knew it gored three times, it just didn't have witnesses. So therefore, it's not considered a full-fledged mu'ud. But he knew that this was not your regular, straightforward, calm, tepid animal. This was an angry animal, and therefore, he should have watched it better. And that's why he sold to pay chatzi nezek. That's what Rav says. No, the shol still could have said, v'nemolei, tam she'ili, mu'ud lo she'ili. I wouldn't have borrowed it, though, if I had known that it really was going to be a mu'ud. I never would have borrowed it. In other words, he can really say, listen, I knew it may have been a tam nachon, but still, that's not the same thing as a mu'ud. And I wouldn't have borrowed it if I'd known it was a mu'ud. So Gemara says, no. Mishum da'amar lei, because the owner of the now shor mu'ud can tell him, so, bottom line is, let's say it had been a tam, im tam haba, so you should have watched it. And therefore, palgo nisko boi shalumi, you would have to pay chatzi nezek as a tam. So therefore, all we're asking you to pay right now is chatzi nezek as well. We're not asking to pay nezek sholem. Even though it was a mu'ad, you're not paying the nezek sholem, you're only paying chatzi nezek. That's what you would have paid if it was a tam that gored. And you knew it was a potential goring, you should have watched it a little bit. So therefore, the fact that you didn't watch it enough that is a mu'ad, so you don't have to pay as a mu'ad, you only have to pay chatzi nezek as it were a tam. Palgoniska, you go pay half the nezek. That's all you have to pay. Boy, shlume. So since in that situation, if it was regular tam, you would only have to pay chatzi nezek, hashtanami, even though the situation is a mu'ad. So what we're asking you to pay is shlum palgoniska, and therefore it's appropriate. Where it says, still, the shul can say, v'nemalei, itam hava mishtalim igufo. Wait a second. If this was a tam, then I'd only have to pay from the ox itself. I wouldn't have to pay minu aliyah. But here, this is a mu'ad. So we're paying from not the gufo, we're paying from my pocket. So therefore, I have to pay from my pocket no matter what. Even if the tam is worth much less than the actual damage here, now I have to go pay from my pocket. Whereas if the tam was worth much less, I'd only have to pay for the guf. So mishtalim igufo. So I'm losing out on this deal. So Gemara says, no, we would respond to him, Mishum Da'amale. Bottom line is, we could answer him, Sov, At Lav Tura Boish Lumi Ledidi. You would have to go return the ox to me. So even if the ox be gufo, if you cause this ox to be damaged, you have to, as a shoal, you have to repay me my full 100%. So therefore, you'd have to pay not from me gufo, you have to pay from your pocket anyway. So you're going to have to pay the damages from your pocket. So therefore, there's no difference whether you're paying it to somebody else or you'd be paying it to me. Therefore, you have to pay not me gufo, but min halia from your own pocket. The show could argue, the name of the land returned to Mem Omud Beis. Im tam haba, it was a tam. You know what I could do? I only have to pay mishtal migufo, modina umiftarina. That is a knas. Chatzi nezek, we had an earlier discussion, is chatzi nezek a knas, or is chatzi nezek a repayment, and just the Torah was chos on you? So here we're saying, if you hold that this is a knas, so all I have to do would be moda, and a moda be knas is potter. So I could have just said, yes, I'm sorry, my ox, the one that I borrowed, went and gored your animal, and therefore I would only be chayiv as a knas, and a moda be knas is potter. So I could say that. And afilu man diyamer pagu nisko mona. And even according to the other man diyamer, it says it really it's a repayment. It's a remuneration for the loss that I caused to your animal. And the Torah was chasim. It only made me pay half. Nevertheless, I could still say in that situation, namely, itamu hava marik. You know what? I could have brought it out to a swamp and you'd never find it. And since it's only Mishtali Migufo, I never would have to pay in that situation. So if it was a knas, a modem knas is potter. And if it's a compensation, so then I would put it out into the swamp someplace, Marik no Leili Agma, and I wouldn't have to pay because it's Mishtali Migufo. So why can't the shul give that answer? So when it says, Elo Hoch Ma'eskin, you're right. You know what we're dealing with over here? The basin went and grabbed this ox before he could bring it out to the agam, before he could be moda, be knas, and be potter. And therefore, in this situation, he would have to go pay the chatzin nezik no matter what. And therefore, that is why he has to pay chatzin nezik over here as well. Moses says, if that's true, that the basin went and grabbed it, ihachi, so then the Baalim could say to the Shoel, hey, you caused me now to lose this other half. The Baalim could say to the Shoel, amai mishal chatzin nezek, why should we have to go pay the other chatzin nezek? Name alay, they could tell the Shoel, itafsei lisoroi biyodah b'man delo motzina liyashtuye dino badei. The Beis Din now has my ox, and I can't go and win my case against the Beis Din because they took the ox, and the ox, the witnesses did it damaged. So you're causing me now to lose out. So therefore, why should I have to pay half the nezik, and you pay half the nezik? You'd have to pay the full nezik. You are, bottom line, are causing me to lose, and you're the shoal, and you're a chayef for everything. So therefore, you should have to pay full nezik and not just chatzi nezik. I said, no, that's not a good argument, because the shoal could respond back, mishum de amar lei. The Shoel can tell him, "E ahadrite niyaloch. If I had given the ox to you, la minoch havishach lilei. So the basin would have taken it from you. So you can't argue that you could have gone and brought it out to the agam, and there'd only be mishtali megufo. No, you would have to go pay anyway. So therefore, you are chayev over here for half of the nezek. And granted, I might be chayev for the other half, but you're chayev for half the nezek as well. Now, just as an aside, someone from Moshe asked, why would the court go and seize such an ox? So some have the gear so that the, not Beis Din, but it was that the Baal Din, and therefore he would understand why he would go and seize the one who was damaged, his ox was damaged, his property was damaged, why he would go seize the ox to have that as collateral, so to say, to pay for the damage. Alternatively, some suggest, why would the Beis Din go and take this? They don't need it. It's not Mishtal Megufo. It is a Muad, and therefore you go and take it from the person's possessions. So why would they go and trouble themselves to go and take this ox? So the answer is that the person had no property whatsoever, and therefore the only way that the basin would be able to go collect would be to take this ox. Okay. Where it continues and says, wait a second, the name Malay, let the owner of this ox go tell the person that borrowed it from him, E hadrite niale, if you had given it back to me, have a rikdo le liagma. No, I would have brought it out to the swamp and the basin wouldn't be able to get it. I have no other money, so therefore I wouldn't have to pay up. So therefore, you should have to go and compensate me for the full value of the ox. So it says, no. Again, the shoal could say, Mishum de Amalei, the shoal could respond back to the owner. So, bottom line is, Lav me'alia havu mishtami. Bottom line is, you own this ox. You have to pay, not from the ox itself, but from your property. So this is your property. So therefore, you would have to go pay from other properties instead. So that's great if you have other properties. If you had other properties, but the guy has no other properties. So therefore, if he put this ox out in the swamp, so the basin wouldn't have been able to get it, and therefore he'd be left with that. He wouldn't be able to pay up, but he would be left with his ox, which he could go get later on. So therefore, he's saying to the show, you caused me to lose, so therefore you should have to pay, not me. No, so the Gemara says, because Mishum do Amalei, because the show could go and tell the owner of this ox, just like I was responsible to you to give you back your ox, but this ox caused damage. So now there's a third party that really owns this ox, so to say. And this is what's called the Shibuda de Rav Nosson. So therefore, me de Rav Nosson, the famous Shibuda Rav Nosson, that if A owes B something and B owes C something, so A doesn't have to pay directly to B. He can go give it directly to C. So he doesn't have to wait, I'll return it to B, who will then return it to C. So this is called the Shibuda de Rav Nosson. The Tanya, we learn the Brisa, the Rav Nosson Omer. Rav Nosson tells us the following din. If Reuven owes Shimon $100, and Shimon owes Levi $100, so Levi doesn't have to go to Shimon to get the $100. He goes straight to Reuven to get the $100. Shimon owes Levi $100, but Reuven owes Shimon $100, so Levi could go collect $100 directly from Reuven. So how do we know that? The Shibud of the Reb Nosson, because Talmud Lomar, V'nosan lasher oshamlo, you give it to the one who is, quote, guilty, the one who owes him the money. And this is how we darsh in this pasuk that Reb Nosson tells us, the famous Shibud of the Reb Nosson, that if A owes B and B owes C, so then C can go collect directly from A. He doesn't have to wait till A pays B, and then he collects from B. So that's what the owner of the ox will hear from the shul. The shul can say, listen, granted, I owe you the ox, but you owe now the damaged party. You owe them your ox. So I bypassed you, and I gave it directly to them. And therefore, I don't have to pay the full damages. Okay, that was the ratio of this brisa. The save of the brisa was, who I beveis shul. It was a regular tam, and it was given over to the shul. And then while it was in the shul's possession, it turned into a muad. And now he returns it, and the question is, what is its status when he returns it? So they have zero libalim. So the brisa tells us baalim misham chatzin nezek. They now reverts to being a tam, and they will only have to pay chatzin nezek with those damages, and we don't go collect the other half of the damages from the shul. The shul is part of miklum. That was the second part of the brisa. Now, sefer rishus mishana. So in the sefer, when you change the ownership, you went from being the possession of the shoal, where it turned into a muad, and you return it to the original owners. So we say, if it's mishana, it's rishus, so then it reverts back to being a tam. But in the reisha, when it went from the rishus of the owner into the rishus of the shoal, so we didn't say, now it becomes a tam again. Reisha, rishus, ain't a mishana. So we seem to have a contradiction. In the reisha, we don't apply this principle of, if you have a shinui in the rishus, that it reverts back to being a tam. So it really was a muad in the rishus of the original owners. The shoal thought it was a tam, but why isn't it a tam when it goes to the shoal? He's a new owner. So therefore, it should be a shinui rishus. Oh, you see from the reisha that a shinui rishus is not changing the din. It stays as a muad. Whereas in the sefer, when it became a muad in the possession of the shoal, and then he returns it, we do say it reverts to being now a tam again. So therefore, in the sefer, we do say a shinui rishus does make a difference, and it reverts to its ownership. So there's a stira, the reisha, and the sefer. So Rav Yochanan says, you're right, 100% Tavra. The authorship of the first part of the Braisa cannot be the same author as the second part of the Braisa. Tavra, it's a broken, it's a smash for sure. Misha, Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. There's no way to learn them the same author. That's the answer Rav Yochanan gives. Rabbi says, no. Rabbi Amar, you could learn them as the same author. Midereisha, there's two ways to do this. Midereisha, Rishus, Ein Mishana, Sefer Nami, Rishus, Ein Mishana. So the Reisha, we saw that it didn't revert. It doesn't go back to being a time when you go to the shoal. So therefore, we say that the ratio is eino mishana, but the sefer also is eino mishana. How come it said that when you give it back to the balim, it, in fact, now it's now a tam, and you only have pechatzi nezik. It does seem to revert. He says, no. The sefer high in the time. The reason why pechatzi nezik in the sefer is not because it reverts to being a tam. It's mishum de amale, because the owner can say to the person who borrowed it from him, lav kol kaminoch the miyadis lay to right. I never gave you permission to go turn it into a muad. You're right. It did become a muad, but that's not my problem. I didn't give it to you to become a muad. So therefore, even though we don't apply the principle of shina rishus, here, you had no right to, so to say, make it into a muad. If somebody steals it, it doesn't become a muad. So too, over here, I didn't give it to you, I didn't lend it to you to turn it into a muad. So that's why, in the sefer of the brisa, even though we normally say a shina rishus doesn't allow it to revert, here he didn't have permission, so to say, to make it into a muad. And that's why the brisa, even if you say that Shita Rishus is not reverting, here it is reverting. That's a second teretz that we have. We have Rav Yochanan's teretz, and then we have the teretz over here of Rabba, and then we have a third teretz, Rav Papa Amar, Mi de Sefer Rishus Mishana, Reisha Nam Rishus Mishana. In the Sefer, it does revert. The din is that the Rishus is Mishana, the din, but the Reisha also, the Rishus is Mishana, the din. How are you going to explain the Reisha? Why, when the owner gave it to the Shoel, it didn't revert back to being a tam. Reisha, I know tam. The reason why it does revert back to being a tam is because mishum de kol makom sholech shame ba'olav olav. Because yes, he borrowed it, but nobody's going to say that's his cow. They're going to say, oh yeah, that's Yankel's cow. Yankel lent his cow to the shoal. So it's still called Yankel's cow. Yankel's cow. Yankel's cow is not a shina rishus. It's still called Yankel's cow. It doesn't have the status of a shina rishus over here, then we should say it reverts to its normal status. But when it does have a shina rishus, like in the sefer, so then it does revert back to its normal status, to its tam status. Okay, those are the three terutzim to explain how the reisha could be one din and the sefer could be another din. No, we have three terutzim over here to explain that. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah said, if you had this shor who it started, you had a bullfighting ox. You had an ox that was in the stadium, it started, and they would go and put it out there, as Rashi had explained from Avodah Zarah, for show to go and kill. So people would go pay a lot of money to go watch this ox go and kill people. So Shari it started, Enochai Misa. So the Mishnah had said that there is no kofar in this situation. You have to pay the damages, but there is no kofar because we brought down the pasuk that says only if it gores on its own. V'chiyigach shor. Only if it gores on its own, but not if you instigated it to go and gore. Okay, that was the Mishnah. More now asked. There's the Mishnah to follow the Shaila. Ma'u l'gabi mizbeach. Okay, you don't have to pay kofar, but is this animal considered like an animal that would be a shor in niskal normally? And albeit this animal is not a shor in niskal, but what is its status in bringing it as a carbon? Malagabi Mizbeach, is this an appropriate animal to bring as a carbon on the Mizbeach or not? A shor in niskal normally can't be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. So do we or do we not apply that aspect of it and say it can't be brought as a carbon? Or we say, no, it can be brought as a carbon. So Rav Amar, no problem, kosher. It is only if it is a shor in niskal, if it is goring on its own, but not if you teach it to gore. So then it's not a shor in niskal, and therefore there's nothing wrong with bringing it as a carbon on the Mizbeach. And Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar, no, in this situation, it's possible. Granted, it's not a shor in niskal, but that's because of technicality. But it's not proper to bring this as a carbon. Rav Amar kosher, the reason why Rav says it's kosher, because Anusu, this poor shor, has been forced into becoming a bullfighting shor. It's been taught to, you know, you see that red flag and go run at the guy. So therefore, it is Anusu. And therefore, just like it's not going to be a shor in niskal, you don't have to go kill it. So too, you can bring it as a carbon. Where Shmuel disagrees, Shmuel or Apostle, Harry never, but there, bottom line is, it went and killed somebody, and it's pasnish to go bring this as a carbon. Gemara now asks on Shmuel, Meisvei, but we have the following brayso that the Apostle tells us, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yamar talihem, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban l'ashem min ha-behema, min ha-bokar, u'min ha-tzon, takriv v'ez korban chem. So we have the drushes from this pasuk. It tells us to bring it min ha-behema. That means only from some of the animals. What does it come to exclude? L'hotzi esaroveya v'esanirba. You can't go bring a carbon, an animal that participated, Rahman al-Islam, in bestiality. Is the active or is the passive partner? Likewise, you can't bring min ha-bakar. That comes to exclude l'hotzi esaneva, an animal that was nebuch worshipped as a vodazara. And when it says min ha-tzon, that comes to exclude Lahotzi es hamukta, an animal just designated to be worshipped. It wasn't actually worshipped, it was just designated to be worshipped. You also can't bring that. And when it says, ooh, min hatzon, the extra vav, that comes lahotzi es hanogeyach. That comes to exclude an animal that went and killed a person. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon says, imnema roveya. Once you're telling me the din of roveya, so you can't bring an animal to roveya, so lomar nemar nogeach. Then why do you have to tell me the case of the animal that gored? Or, imnema nogeach. If you tell me the animal gored can't be brought as a carbon, so lomar nemar roveya. Why do you have to tell me the din of roveya? So mustn't it be that each one has an aspect that the other one doesn't have? That's why you have to need to use both. The goring animal can't be brought as a carbon if it kills somebody, and the animal that participated in bestiality can't be brought as a carbon. Now, why? What unique aspect does each have that the other one doesn't have? So Shimon says, each of them has a unique aspect that the other one doesn't have. What is the unique aspect that each one has? So Roveya, in regards to the animal, Nebuch, the committed bestiality with a person, so also about Ones Kiratso. So whether the animal was the active partner or the passive partner, so to say, in this Rahman al-Islam act of bestiality, so the animal is considered to be inappropriate for a carbon. As opposed to a Shor Shenogeach, so Lo also about Ones Kiratso. It's only if it went and killed intentionally by itself that it is called a Shor Shenogach, and therefore, in that situation, you can't bring it as a carbon because it's going to be a Shor Niskal. Implication being that if it was incited to go and do this, so then it could be brought. This would be the Kashan Shmuel. In any event, Nogeach, Mishalim Kofar, the Nogeach does have to pay the Kofar, and the Roveya, and Mishalim is a Kofar. If the person died, we'll discuss this more in a moment. So the Roveya doesn't have to go and pay kofar. So each of them has an aspect that the other one has. Therefore, the Ficha Hutzruch Loma Roveya, the Hutzruch Loma Nogeach. That's why you need the various parts of the pasuk to go and exclude each one. Now, here's the kasha I already pointed out on Shmuel. Ketanim me, as we said, Roveya also ba'onis karatzot. By the Roveya, whether it did it intentionally, it was the active partner, whether it did it passively, unintentionally, it was the passive partner. Nogeach, lo also bo onus karatzon. That's only true by the Roveya, but it's not true by the Nogeach. In other words, l'may hilchazot, what's the nafkamina? Lav l'carbon. Can it be brought as a carbon? So you see that it can be brought as a carbon if it was an ones. In other words, if it was a shor, it's tadin, so then you can bring it as a carbon. Exactly like Rav, kash on Shmuel from this brisa. Shmuel says, no, lo, liktala. It's talking here about that you don't bring it as a shor niskal. So that's what it means. But you do have to, you still can't bring it as a carbon, so Shmuel will say, I'm correct. And in fact, Shmuel could argue this is the right way to learn the brisa, because the yam is the carbon. If you're telling me that you could bring this ox as a carbon, so then nogeach lo also bo ones keratzon. By the nogeach, we don't have the din of ones keratzon as being the same. So lav ones di deiksev, v'lav ratzon di deiksev. It has nothing to do with ones keratzon. The pasuk doesn't mention ones keratzon, so therefore that can't be it. Ela lav l'ktala. The pasuk is only telling us the difference in regards to the din of ktala. So therefore, Shmuel would say, this works out perfectly in accord with my opinion, Hachanami Mistabra, as opposed to the opinion of Rav. So it's not a kasha to me, it's even a raya to me. Okay, Gemara re-questions this further. Omamar, it said, Nogeach Mashalim is a kofir, Rubei in Mashalim is a kofir. And we had brought down as part of the comparison, the unique aspect of each one. We said, the Nogeach goes and pays a kofir, but the Rubei doesn't pay a kofir. Gemara says, hey, Chidam, what are we talking about that the Rubei doesn't pay a kofir? Ilemo de Ravo Vikotla, if you're telling me that the animal Nebuch killed the person during the act of bestiality, so then, Malik Tolo Bekarna, Malik Tolo Beria. So why wouldn't it be a Shor HaNiskal in that situation? What difference does it make if an animal gores with its horns, or an animal gores with its body during the act of the bestiality, so it went and crushed the person? So either way, why would that make a difference that you shouldn't be calling it a Shor HaNiskal? It should. So the Gemara says, Ella, what happened? The Rav of Alokotla. It didn't go and kill the person. It just committed the act of bestiality. You don't pay kofar. The Gemara says, so why would you pay kofar? Hide lo mishalim kofar, mishum de Alokotla. It didn't kill. That's why you don't pay the kofar. So how do you learn anything from this in regards to the din of kofar? So Abai tells us the following terrors. Omer Abai, Leolam de Riva Velokotla. The animal committed this act of bestiality, but it didn't kill the person that it committed the act with. However, Dasuya Lebedina Vekatlua, but there were witnesses over here, and they brought the person that this animal committed the act of bestiality with to the Beis Din. And the Beis Din, then this woman, let's say, did this Nebuch intentionally. She was an active, willing participant herself. The witnesses warned her. She did it anyway. So therefore, she's Chayevis Misa. The Asur Lebeis Din, they brought this woman to the Beis Din, Vekatlua, and the Beis Din gave her Misa's Beis Din. So therefore, indirectly, this ox, this animal, caused this woman to die. So Ma'al Tema, I might have said, return to Ma'al Abba Ma'aluv, Kiman de Kotla Dami. This is like the ox itself killed this woman, even though it was indirectly, might have thought that that would be the case, and therefore there should be a kofar. Kamash one, that there's no kofar in this situation. That's teretz number one. Rava Ma'ar, teretz number two, the Olam de Rava Kotla. We are dealing in a case where during the act of bestiality, the woman was crushed, and therefore she died. What difference does it make whether you kill with the horns or whether you kill with the crushing of the person during the relations? So it should be the same din. It should be a shor haniskal. So when it says, no, keren kavodas alahazik. By the keren, the animal gets no benefit from goring other than the killing. It's goring. It's intending to go and damage. As opposed to during the relations, the animal is doing it to pleasure itself. No, it didn't intend to crush the woman. As opposed to with the Karen, it intended to crush. So therefore, that could be the difference why with Karen, you pay a kofar, but with the crushing of the woman, there wouldn't be no din of kofar. Okay. No. Abai and Rava are arguing here, but my commitment. What are they arguing about? But my pleading. So, Beregel Shadarsa Agabi Tinok Bechatzar and Isaac. It's essentially coming down to if Rahman Wuslan, an ox is walking in the roadway, in the Rishos of the Nizak, and it goes and crushes a child that's over there. Abai Mishalim Kofar. According to Abai, you have to go and pay the Kofar because it actually killed. Right? In this situation, it would pay the kofar because it actually killed directly. Whereas Larava, Lomashal and Kofar, Rava would say no, since there was no intention to go and kill, so it wouldn't have to go pay the kofar because only when you intend to kill with a Karen, so to say, but not with walking. That's considered normal, and therefore it wasn't doing it to go and hurt. Okay, so that'll be a practical nafkamina between Abai and Rava. Finally, we conclude the Gemara with a tiny kavos of the Rav. We have a brisa that is in support of Rav's opinion. You could bring the animal as a carbon in the shor it's tadin case, because it says in the brisa, shor it's tadin, ain't no chai misa. There is no din of shor in iskal because the animal was inside it, like we brought down from the psukim, and therefore there is no chi of a misa, but the kasha legabi mizbeach, it is able to be go and be brought as a carbon, exactly like Rav said, mibnei shu kim usim, because it was forced to do this, so to say, it was incited to do this, it was taught to do this, to be a bullfighting shor, and therefore you can't go and say that it's held responsible, and therefore there's absolutely nothing wrong, according to Rav, to go and bring it as a carbon. The brisa says exactly like Rav. With this, we conclude today's share. Everyone should have a wonderful day.